year, last month's pay out. This getting started. Last month's meeting was canceled, but we did have a special meeting late in December. So welcome back. And we'll begin tonight with roll call and introductions, starting with the newcomer on my far left.
Alex Golf, here for the first time in months.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
Sean McKinney, Sarah Fox.
Robert Hines.
Rock Manley.
Randall Sand.
Mike Baker.
Lisa Baker.
Heidi Kramer.
Bruce Kramer.
Michelle Schultz.
Matt Hall, Clark County Public Works.
Mike Odburn, Olson Engineering.
Jackie Camp, Clark County.
Welcome. So we'll begin with approval of the minutes from both the November 3rd and December 22nd meetings. These were included in the meeting package that Jackie had sent out last week.
And I just want to let everyone know, Sarah had given me some revisions by email, so I've made those in the copies that you have in front of you, and they are on the November 3rd notes. It was a edit to fix Beaux Arts on page 2. It was misspelled, so there, it's in two kind of references in that same, let's see, 1, 2, 3 bullets down. So that was one. And then the December meeting was a fix of a sentence on the second page, under the Lupke Building, bullet 4. It wasn't quite a real sentence. So thanks for catching that.
Yeah. Like, what does it say? This makes sense now.
Good.
Okay, minor revisions. Otherwise, give everybody a moment to reflect on it. Look it over if you haven't done so already. And then when you're ready, somebody would like to make a motion to approve. Starting with the November 3rd minutes,
I'll move that we approve the November 3rd minutes. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Moving on to December 22nd.
I move that we approve the December 22nd.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, minutes are approved. So let's move on to our one and only public hearing this evening, and this is for the Clark County Heritage Farm Certificate of Appropriateness for application. This is with regard to the lighting and the signage for the parking lot. So before we get started, I'll ask each of the commissioners if they have any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest with respect to this hearing.
No.
Okay. If not, consider the public hearing opened, and we'll turn it over to hear the staff report.
Okay. This is case HST number 2016-00001, design review or certificate of appropriateness for proposed new lighting and signage for the parking area. The Clark County Poor Farm, its historic name, also known as the 78th Street Heritage Farm. The property owners, Clark County, have applied for a certificate of appropriateness for new lighting and interpretive signage for the parking lot on the west side of the administration building. The application states there will be 8 light poles proposed and that will provide moderate lighting levels to match the expected pedestrian traffic. The lighting is designed to minimize trespass onto adjacent private parcels. The other request is for an interpretive sign regarding the low-impact development methods that are used to treat stormwater runoff. In May of 2015, the Historic Preservation Commission reviewed and approved the Certificate of Appropriateness for the proposed new parking lot and landscaping with the condition that the lighting and signage would come back before them when designed. The proposed parking lot is part of the implementation of the site's master plan that was developed in 2010. Clark County received a grant from the Department of Ecology for the project. The site is also within the Highway 99 Overlay District, which has specific lighting standards for the sub area. the proposal meets that code criteria. So I just wanted, I won't go through the background. We've kind of heard this before, and I'm sure you guys are aware of its history. I'll go ahead and just hit all the findings for the design review criteria that I looked at and thought that it met those or it was least applicable to review. So the first one, under the Secretary of Interior standards for rehabilitation, every reasonable effort shall be made to provide a compatible use for a property which requires minimal alteration of the building, structure, or site in its environment, or to use a property for its originally intended purposes. My finding is that, as it is stated in the master plan, the site has been envisioned as an important neighborhood gathering place that builds community pride. Year-round, community members of all ages will take advantage of the site's many agricultural and educational amenities. Residents will walk, bike, use public transportation, and drive to the site to participate in community gardening, farming, and educational programs, learn about the site's history, and enjoy nature and views of Mount St. Helens, Mount Adams, and Mount Hood. Additional parking with lighting and educational interpretive signage is important to accommodate the visitors for the site and part of the master plan developed by the Heritage Farm Advisory Council. The proposed lighting and interpretive sign seem to be compatible with the property. I also found applicable finding or Secretary of Interior Standards number 2, distinguishing original qualities or character of a building, structure, or site and its environment shall not be destroyed. The installation of parking lot lights, interpretive sign for the approved parking lot, should not affect the original qualities of the site, but are necessary for safety and education for public use. 3, I did not find applicable, or 4, 5, or 6, or 7. Number 8, every effort shall be made to protect and preserve archaeological resources affected by and adjacent to any project. We talked about this last time at the hearing. An archaeological predetermination has been completed, and it indicated that no archaeological items were found and that no work was recommended. Number 9, contemporary designs for alterations in additions to existing properties shall not be discouraged when such alterations in additions do not destroy significant historical, architectural, or cultural material, and such design is compatible with the size, scale, color, materials, and character of the property, neighborhood, or environment. I do not find that the proposed parking lot lighting and sign destroys any historical, architectural, or cultural materials. Therefore, I believe that this proposal meets the applicable criteria as stated above, and I'm recommending approval of the certificate of appropriateness application. And there is, before we go any further, there is a change to the lighting. That is what you see in front of you, the bigger sheets that came in today. I took a look. I still don't think I'm not changing my recommendation. We wanted to kind of give you the opportunity, if you felt like you needed more time to review that, that we could pull it from the decision today, up to you, or if you have enough time tonight to deliberate, discuss it, and make a decision on that lighting.
What are the key differences?
Well, why don't we go, when we go to the applicant, they can kind of explain the details. We have the designer here and the staff from the county. So if you have any questions for me, I'll take them in.
I guess I'll start again. Matt Hall, Clark County Public Works. I'm the project manager, and Mike Ogren with Olson Engineering is with me to fill in the details on some of the design. I'll start with just the talk about the main differences in lighting. In the application package, we provided a site lighting plan, and then also kind of a detail sheet of the light. The way it was mounted, and so the plan, the height of the lighting fixture is 20 feet high. All of that is basically the same. I think we said in there it has 8 poles. I think it's actually 7 poles and 8 light fixtures. And The main difference in the lighting is we've gone from a metal halide light to an LED light, which kind of makes the lighting picture a little more low profile, as you can see from here. So those are the main differences in the lighting. I don't know if you want to add anything.
The Highway 99 overlay requires full shielding from off-site to off-site properties as well as the right-of-way. This standard here, as has been approved by Clark County, through the review process, meets that requirement. This is what was actually submitted. Just a little background as to why you're seeing this now instead of what it was later. There was a mix-up, pure and simple, between what was presented previously to Clark County for their development review approval versus what was actually placed onto the electrical plans for construction. As we were going through the process today, identifying and making sure that all our I's were dotted and T's were crossed, we noticed that there was a discrepancy, which is why you now have what was really approved in front of you today. Metal halide was never a consideration, though it would be high-pressure sodium. It was an LED, which stays within the feeling of having an LED best management practice facility, which we're doing with regards to stormwater, that we're also looking at energy conservation with regards to the lighting also. If you look at the difference between what's been presented to you today and what was in your packet originally, you'll notice that it's much more low profile. It almost disappears in the landscape. They have them now mounted out at the new Sports Authority out in Hazeldale. And that's really why you're seeing this now today instead of what was originally presented to you. Black. It does look brown. We have a number of different. We could go white, aluminum. The decision's been made to go with black, such as like a black vinyl-colored fence. It almost disappears in the landscape and doesn't have any. It doesn't stick out.
Like the cut sheet shows two options: the direct diffuse lens and the intermittent motion sensor.
No, I don't believe that the diffuse drop lens is included on there. That would change our photometric layout. If you can see by the photometric plan that was provided to you, and that option is not included on the description with regards to the catalog number. The motion sensor is also not included. We need to provide lighting per the 99 overlay standards as well as Washington State Code with regards to pedestrian access also.
So they'd be on a timer?
They'd be on a timer, yeah.
I was here for the main presentation, and I thought we had talked about some sort of vintage look to this lighting to go with the character of the building. This looks to me to be very modern.
Unfortunately, I was not here for that. For that presentation, and I do apologize for that. However, if that was discussed, I might suggest that this is a situation where we have strict standards in which to follow the Highway 99 overlay standards, not only with regards to the full shielding cut off from neighboring properties in the right-of-way, but also with regards to very specific photometric standards, as is shown in your packet. So I'm not sure if that option is available from a more vintage style, nor would I'm challenged, and I apologize, I don't know a whole lot about site lighting such that I'd be able to speak intelligently regarding whether or not there are vintage styles out there that are LED and also meet all of the other criteria of that we've needed to meet with regards to the standards.
And it might be one thing if it was a situation where it was a facility that had lighting prior and you were replacing it with in-kind, trying to have gas lighting or something way back, and to try to replace it. But in this situation, it seems like it's a new use.
There's one light out there right now. It's on a pole, and it is a old style light that belongs to CPU. That's in the right of way. That's the only light that illuminates the facility presently, and it's right there on the north, on the east side of the entrance into the property. There's no other site lighting, except for maybe some building lighting that's there presently, illuminating doors.
You know, the unusual about the anecdotes, but the goals of developing the environmental consciousness and so forth, and obviously back in the turn of the previous century, they probably didn't have a problem. They didn't have pre-pervious pavement. Like some of the things that we put over here as a part of the concept, I think, behind the development. I was a little taken aback when I saw the, I went online and looked and saw the box fixture.
As was I just earlier today.
But I do see, you know, when I saw this one as the intended option, it is lower profile. It kind of goes away. And using just two different philosophies, two different concepts, you could use a historic looking unit on a site like that, or not. And I would be a little unsure whether the historic would almost detract in this environment of previous kind of reading.
My concern is I just don't think it goes with the building, and I, quite frankly, I don't think they're attractive at all, and I think there should be some consideration for that. That's all. We talked about vintage at length. I know you all did. I was here, and this was not what I was expecting. I'm sure there's other ways that we could meet the requirements of the overlay and maybe have something that kind of goes more with the historical property. You know, property has a long and colorful history. I'm mixed too. So I agree with it.
We wanted to talk about the signing, but do we want to get through the lighting, or do we want to go through the signing?
Let's keep going.
Just a kind of a little background on the signing. Like as you're aware from the plans and the description, the project is treating stormwater with a few different methods. As kind of a demonstration project for LID, most of it is just infiltration through pervious materials, pavers, pervious concrete, pervious asphalt, and then a grass paver system out there, both kind of to meet the kind of requirements of the site, but then also is what the grant was based on, the Department of Ecology, methods that are approved by them where you've got some education on the type of LID uses, you know, that is kind of the standard now for stormwater treatment. The sign itself was designed by our Environmental Services Department and is consistent. They do a lot of signing for different areas around the county for whether it's stormwater, for some of the other facilities that they have, and it's consistent with that design they use around the county.
What would the sign be located exactly?
Let's see.
It is highlighted in your packet.
Yeah, it's in the packet.
It's just adjacent to the existing mailbox that will be stay just to the east of the entry drive. You'll see the yellow highlighted area there. That little plaza area has been designed to accommodate pedestrians so that they might be able to read the sign safely and achieve a overall view of the parking lot to be able to see everything that's on the sign.
So what about signage on the road frontage, just to let people know that it's there?
The existing sign is going to remain. That's there presently. It's actually on that sign. It's just above the little LS. I don't know if you can zip over here. It's right there. And that's outside of any side distance issues that we have out there. But that existing sign will remain.
Questions of the applicant
regarding the signage or lighting? Well, I guess, you know, regarding the vintage look thing, are there any options for? I mean, I think the LED is way better than metal halide. You know, I think the neighbors would appreciate it more without, you know, the buzzing and flickering and that kind of thing. But, well, I mean, are there any other housings that?
It's been my experience, while I'm not a lighting designer, that those vintage lights usually have a globe associated with them and some sort of bulb associated with them. And in order to achieve any cutoffs, you have to actually blacken out a portion of the globe. The other part about that is that you get a lot of off-site lighting dispersion. Whereas if you're across the street or a neighbor, particularly, and what we're really, you know, very cognizant of are the people that live to the west in the mobile home park, that we want to be very conscious of their situation, their living conditions, such that if we were to put in an acorn-style light, for instance, or one of the other crookneck lights that are downtown Vancouver, that we would run the risk of then having that additional light dispersion onto their properties. This technology also affords for timers as well as extolling the need to have, you know, energy reducing LED lights. While I cannot say for certain that there isn't something out there that might be a historical-esque looking light, I would be challenged to say there's something that's going to look exactly like you are intending or have preconceived that would work well in this facility here. So as far as that's concerned, those are my concerns with regards to whether or not something historical looking might be able to be achieved with this kind of technology.
Pedestrian light standards on the site further east near the building, around the building, or anywhere other than you mentioned the one light, and I think I know the one, it's on pole right at the end of the street,
right
in front of
it. Yeah,
but you know, other lighting, you know, associated with the building or pathways around the building, is there anything?
No, not that I remember.
Yeah, the only thing, I think there's some lights because there's some, you know, kind of the farm building. I think they do have some security lighting over there. That is just that.
Nothing decorative.
No, it's associated with the farm building.
And taking a look at some of the pictures, the historical pictures today, as I was preparing for the meeting, I didn't see any other freestanding lighting or any building lighting for that matter.
I think we should also. Associated with the active uses of this property anyways.
So I guess I'm weighing in that as long as the light color, so that's kind of where I was going, is that it wasn't, I like the fact that it's less than, it'd be even better if it was lower than 20 feet, probably, but 20 feet's fine. The color, as long as it's not some bright white or some bright chrome sort of thing, you know, as long as it's not reflecting, glaring, you know, the black.
That was my comment on the fixture selection. Is if I was in the same position and had to select a fixture, I'd be looking for something to disappear. And I think that's an individual choice.
Okay, well, we can deliberate further after we close the hearing. If there's no more questions of the applicant, I'd like to get public comment.
One last question.
Mm-hmm.
How much are these lights each?
Good question.
I didn't read yesterday.
I think they're... I'm shooting in the dark. This is going to be probably 7,000 to 8,000 is standard. That's in about right.
Yeah, I think it's
in there. It's like maybe a big piece
for the whole thing. Yeah, yeah.
Light base and the whole thing.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Any more questions? Okay, if you're not, I think we have some interesting people in the room tonight. So we'll receive public comment.
I would like to start. Thank you very much. Thank you for always inviting me, and I do appreciate the remembrance of this group, but thank you for your research and work.
Sure.
I noticed that while the photograph says, you know, circa 1945, I just want to share with you because we truly value all of the work of everyone in Clark County, and especially this commission. I know it often goes thankless, you know, your role here on, you know, I'm sure you would have other things to do on a Tuesday night. But Michael Hauser, you know, the state architectural historian, had credited the most prominent feature of this site is the Tan Building. The two-story landmark was actually built in 1926, and it was a design influenced by the Italian Renaissance style, just for curiosity's sake here in discussion. The farm, just as a reminder, is credited with being the best and most intact example of a farm social system in our whole state, and it is likely to be the only one that is on our state register. Hence, I just want to emphasize the importance of really making correct decisions. You know, we really appreciate that it's forever protected by the National Historic Designation that it has, and I just would appreciate, you know, a very dedicated decision to not do something just because we can do something. And I asked my husband to come tonight because he better understands lighting and such. And again, I just want to mostly applaud your work, but I did want to remind of the importance because sometimes once we do things, then your record becomes a record for the next group, you know, behind you to say, well, this is what they did, and they must have made a good decision, you know, based upon this. And we need to remember it was 1926. It was, you know, an Italian influence. Not to undermine that.
I just had a comment. You know, the grant money was available for sprucing up the parking lot, and so you have to adhere to the standards that are currently with Clark County. I noticed that the parking lot is quite big. It doesn't, you know, and you've got eight lights, so I didn't see what was a further development past where the lighting was and what the plans were in the future. So that was kind of a concern. Also with the lighting, you know, as you mentioned, this, we get light trespass, you know, and if there was any shielding or anything, I realized the people that live lower around the trailer park and stuff, we live up on top of the hill, but we still see the Clark County sports field at night. It's like a, you know, ET's landing. every night, and I don't know that more lighting after dark is really necessary unless, you know, currently gardening's done during the daytime and there are no site tours at night that I know of that go into that facility. So, you know, if something was on a timer, you know, I could see the only use right now would be early morning gardening or something when people get there early in the morning or if they go past dark, you know, that there's some lighting to get you in and out of the facility. But I really can't see, you know, the big new parking lot and all the lighting that's going to go in there. You know, it doesn't really keep true to the facility itself.
Does the parking lot get locked at night?
No, it's open.
I think without the lighting, you might be inviting.
Well, there's a gate there, or, you know, there's a gravel. There is a parking lot there now, but I don't think anybody ever uses it. It's just kind of a dark facility.
Yeah, but the main entrance is open all the time. And that's where the code for the lighting comes in.
You know, I could see, you know, something historical or something like around here where you've got the low-intensity lights, but LED is, you know, they're very bright. You know, obviously they're very cost-efficient way to go, but they really put out a lot of light.
Yeah, I don't know if you can... I know that the lighting levels have to match, you know, the use.
Right, and the posts and everything, and I realize that.
Well, I think, you know, there's high pedestrian traffic. I mean, this is moderate, so the lighting levels are lower. They're, what, between 1 and 2?
Mm-hmm.
And so the, you know, moderate, it's hard to see a relative moderate, but it's going to be different than Fred Meyer, you know, where you've got high pedestrian. This is moderate because there's the use at night of low.
So what is the future use for this facility?
If I might, you were curious about what's going to take place south.
Yeah, because I see the...
Sure. Actually, south of the parking lot itself, directly south, is a wetland buffer. And one of the other requirements is the parking lot has actually been reduced in size to its greatest extent possible to still allow for circulation around and the amount that was necessary to be able to justify doing the project to begin with. We actually have compact stalls along the southern portion of the parking lot in order to reduce the impact into the buffer. Secondly, we were able to, through Clark County Code, reduce the wetland buffer. It's just a large grass area. But it is still a wetland buffer, and there's a wetland associated with it. We were able to reduce that buffer from 40 feet by doing a number of different things. One of them was to plant a heavy screen, which was reviewed by the committee previously, to keep headlight intrusion out of the wetland buffer. This is kind of plays into it. We have to keep the light out of the wetland buffer in order to meet the standard for keeping that. So, and then, thirdly, so that we just don't have this row of shrubs and the continued lawn down there, we're actually going over and above what is minimally required by the county from a wetland mitigation standpoint and planting all native plants in the balance of that. We're going to strip out the grass, plant native plants in that area so that it blends in with the rest of it all the way down to the fence line, which then, of course, kind of corresponds down into the creek area down there. So there isn't going to be any more development in this particular area. This is it.
And then you're going to go to what, a pervious pavement?
Or? We have not only pervious pavers along the north side, we have pervious asphalt in the middle section where we have the...
Yeah, the concrete seems to plug up quite a bit.
And then we have the grasscrete. The pervious concrete is actually currently there where the existing ADA parking. We are expanding the ADA parking to meet minimum federal requirements for ADA parking because we're expanding the parking itself and fixing the issue that's currently out there with the water backing up, providing an overflow into one of the rain gardens or biofiltration cells to be able to fix the kind of that condition.
And the blue thing, is that a vault, infiltration vault, or is that what's that?
That
I was going to say
that was PDF.
It looks like yeah, you got everything. So where does everything go now?
Everything does go. There's three biofiltration cells. One at this location,
okay.
One at this location, and one at this location. And as everything flows into these, that captures and will treat these into a substrate. This is regular asphalt through here, but these are the pavers. This is the pervious asphalt. This is the grasscrete areas. As everything gets treated, they are released in two locations, at this point and at this point, through what is called a dispersion trench, if you will. And these are the... These are the areas that the hatching represents the mitigation area specifically, along with
so
this
that's
area.
The mitigation.
That's the mitigation area for the impact to the wetland and the wetland buffer. However, the rest of this area down to the fence line will be planted with native plant material to be able to replicate what we're proposing in these locations here as minimally required by the county. This entire area will look like these little hatched areas here. Yeah, the wetland boundary is right at this location here and kind of jogs around, and then the buffer is up here. So we're staying out of the buffer. Along this area is where we have to really do a heavy planting of the native plant materials to keep the light intrusion from those that park along this area, as well as which allows us to reduce the buffer a little bit. And we're kind of constrained with regards to the setback requirements up here, as well as the wetland buffer down here. So we have in there what we can.
I remember from the May meeting that there was a lot of discussion of the landscaping that would accompany the lighting and how the two would perhaps mitigate, maybe how the landscaping might help offset some of the lighting, because mm-hmm. obviously the lighting's an intrusion. How tall is, I mean, I'm just looking at this drawing here, mm-hmm. this graphic. You know, how tall is that, some of that vegetation?
Well,
around the margin of the
sure, the trees that are in here, of course I don't have my landscape plan with me, but the trees that are in here are all going to reach a height of probably 30-35 feet at maturity and a spread of 20-25 feet. We have a large heavy buffer of conifer trees along here to further buffer the light intrusion and impacts of this parking lot from the neighbors over on this side. This creek or whatever you want to call it does run along. It's actually south of here and then runs along the side here. So we have quite a large landscape buffer along here. The fence line itself is probably set in 8 to 10 feet from the west property line. So all of those have been taken into consideration in laying this out. Of course, one always looks at, well, how can we get as many parking stalls in here as possible? We could have done additional impacts into the wetland buffer here. We could have done more mitigation, but the county chose not to do that. They chose because of the nature of the development itself, as well as the grant that was afforded for doing a low impact development best management practice demonstration facility. It would almost be contrary to try to gain as much area and as much parking as possible while doing what they're attempting to do.
Does that grant money cover future maintenance, or is that going to be added to the county?
It'll be added to the county. We have,
because I know
we have to maintain stormwater facilities now, so it's
they have a hard time doing that.
Yes.
Times, right? Yeah, more.
Yes, but it is. It's not part of the grant. It's part of the ongoing.
Are
there
any other public comment? Okay. So I guess I'm a little unclear as to the comments that I just heard. So you are basically suggesting that you feel that lighting at this site would not be appropriate in terms of
I'm just questioning
your concerns about,
you know, why you need so many lights for a facility that isn't used at night. You know, it's currently not being used, and you know the after hours is limited.
I think they do have meetings at night, actually.
The facility is actually used by a number of different organizations at different times during the day and the evening.
And this, if I remember, previous meeting, this was a matter of code, right?
I would think so. Yes, and as I remember speaking when Laura was here presenting, and we did talk about the night visitors, and she said that there were night meetings. I remember saying that, and a lot of people are working late there in their offices.
They're pretty low key, so we never know.
But yeah, they want to be safe as well when they come and go for to work
just,
in that
building. Just one additional, and I do appreciate and I trust, you know, your decisions. We're thrilled. It is a benefit to live nearby, and we want to protect that. You know, as such, and it's a wonderful open space, and part of it is, you know, it's nice and dark at night. That's just almost unheard of, that close to the city of Vancouver. So, you know, whatever, you know, I can do to say, you know, if there's any way to, you know, go in phases of let's try this, and then, you know, let's go more, I would certainly go for that. My other, you know, just unrelated, you know, just thinking on this, is that currently, before you started the hearing, I was actually just speaking about, we seem to be having a rash of graffiti writing and tagging. And it's my viewpoint that it always goes in the well-lit areas where they can actually see what they're doing. You know, and I could name off a number of spaces and such. And sometimes, you know, our actions do have unintended consequences, and, you know, we need to keep people safe when, in fact, you know, it invites and gives people opportunity to see their way into other sectors or, you know, such. So, you know, just, I don't know what you do about that, but just, you know, anything we do will always have a future impact on down the line. I just wanted to add one last comment in regards to, you know, the beautiful aesthetics and the landscaping, and just a comment for future discussion, if you could. As I have come to know many of the people up, I'm in the subdivision up at the top, and so we see the very dark, we see the walkers coming up and checking the fence, you know, in the morning. So, you know, we're back up there. But in coming to get to know some of the people that are down through the mobile area and others, and I know that there is a subdivision going on the, that would be on the east side. And I know people are very attractive, because you see advertising to the effect of, you know, these open spaces. As such, if you have any influence on down the road, I have heard numerous complaints. Nobody quite understands how some sidewalks were left off, especially on 16th. That developers were allowed to kind of opt out and such. And I think part of the beauty of this is that people should be able to come and to appreciate this, and more so than a parking lot, a walkability. We hear about it all the time in the city of Vancouver, but we also ought to be thinking about that in our Clark County areas, what makes it walkable. I walk quite a bit, you know, with the dog, and there is absolutely, you know, you kind of hip-hop around, because on 16th there's a partial sidewalk over by the condominiums, and but there's absolutely none by the mobile, and then I think it picks up again up by Joel, you know, Olson, and just, but it's very hodgepodge, and I don't know that I see that on the other thing. So if somewhere on down the line you have any influence over some of those improvements, I know I did complain once, and Clark County sent somebody out and cleaned up all the, and we did get some additional sidewalk because there were all those
blackberries.
Okay, I grew up in the Midwest, so it's like, what are those things? They just grow all over. So that's my only other thought, but mostly I just want to say it's not so much concerns. I just want to make sure that, you know, this gives, you give this the proper, and I know you are because I hear that, consideration that it really deserves, because your decisions will impact all of us, and people from now will make decisions based upon the decisions you make. So just caution, and I appreciate your comments, and I do like where you're going with this, and thank you for taking the additional time.
Thank you. Okay, I think that was our last public comment. So I think I'll go ahead and close the meeting at this time and give the commission an opportunity to deliberate. Yes, it sounds like you have some things to deliberate on. So let's open it up. Thoughts?
Looking at everything, especially this revised light and reviewing the staff report, the attachments that were with it, but I'm comfortable going along with the staff's recommendation on this project. So,
I would like to see the gentleman Mike mentioned that he just didn't know if there were any historical vintage looking lights that would meet the standard and criteria, so I would like to at least see if that's available, because I could understand if this was a building that was just going to have a dedicated purpose that was not within the public scope. This is a place where people are going to come and learn about the history of this farm. We're going to bring their children, we're going to bring their grandmother and their grandfather, and I would like to see. I understand there's been a huge amount of effort here in the meetings long before we were. I'd like to see if there's some option, since there's a lot of money being spent, I mean, arguably $16,000, and maybe there's a version that's, you know, not LED that would make the community a little bit happier, that would be a little more low-key. I understand the height, it could go to 25 feet, I read the report today. It's at 20, maybe we can deal with that.
When you're thinking about I guess I'm curious what you are envisioning for vintage styling or
the one that you showed me, or Crooked Neck, or I think called Acorn. There's, if you go to Portland, I did a lot of work in Portland on preservation. There's some neighborhoods that have beautiful Crooked Neck lighting, and you know, Victorian, and it goes very, very well. And then you go a little bit further down, there's the same Victorian homes, and then there's this modern lighting. And it looks so out of place. And yet, if you go to the East Coast and you look at their historical preservation districts, it all matches. We're behind the gate, in my opinion. So I would like to see us at least spending $60,000. It's a grant, but it's still public money. I would like to see some investigation, since this is a public site where we are going to try and have people learn about it in its history. Have it fit with the building. This does not fit with the building.
Shelley, you mentioned the height, and that it can go up to 25 was the
maximum.
And when I think about pedestrian scaled historic fixture, I'm thinking about something that proportionally is a little bit lower.
I was thinking 15, but I'll go with the architect.
The technical issue, you know, we've heard from our public comments that there's a concern that there are too many lights.
Mm-hmm.
And
I saw that too.
Of course, when we lower the height to get a more pedestrian scale feel and something like this at historic look, we're going to increase the number of fixtures. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a.
So here's the question: does luminosity go down with when the height goes down? I don't know. I never took physics.
If you look at the
luminosity wouldn't go down, but the footprint expansion is all right.
Yeah, if you look at the photometric diagram, there's a line, and those lines represent how many foot candles the light is mounted. Well, it's like if you had a flashlight in your hand, you lower it closer, the circle's going to get smaller. So then the cover will get the same level of lighting levels, you need more fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
So then the budget goes up for the very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's where they arrive at the 20 feet, is to balance the number mm-hmm. with the lighting levels needed.
Is there any idea of what time the lights will shut off? Is there a standard in Clark County when that happens?
That's a good question, since they haven't had lighting in the parking lot out there. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be variable depending on what's going on. Because the waiter can start at 4:30.
If there wasn't a meeting that night, the staff would just shut the lights off.
I believe so.
On our street, the lights go out when the sun comes. It's interesting. And so it changes all the way around. So I think there's some solar sensitivity going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, go ahead, sir. I was just following you on that. I mean, it's kind of been bothering me back then that, you know, we can't use the motion sensor. And I guess we can't use a photo cell activated, you know, to Shell's point, so that the lights are on when it's start. Maybe with the timer. I've used systems with a photo cell and a timer where they come on, you know, when the sun goes down, they'll turn out at 10 o'clock. But maybe the code doesn't allow that.
I think it's just to give the flexibility for them to turn them on and off as needed, instead of just having them automatically come on and then being on over time and then start.
So is the idea to have them basically on a switch and as people walk up and leave for the night, they're gonna shut off the lights.
Yeah, it's a switch that's adjustable depending on the time of year if they've got something they can stand.
Mm-hmm. No, I know.
The reason I'm asking is, I mean, it's kind of addressing a couple concerns, you know. The site is currently fairly dark, except for that one bright spotlight on the street that is really, you can see it for miles, it seems to. Two lights that shut off at 9 o'clock at night, you're actually improving the situation out there. You don't have that huge little spotlight on the corner. You have, you know, these lights that are going to shut off. So, because that light stays on all night. So, I'm just weighing those concerns that actually could be improving the situation with the time lights. And I did just, this funny thing, timing wise on all this, I just had to do a presentation for our planning commission on the night sky ordinance. They wanted more information on it, so I spent a couple days, so I'm not an expert in it, but you know, those are the some of the best practices for the night sky ordinances in cities are the time lights, the only light which you have to, which is what they're showing here, you know, at the minimal amount that you need. So I see those practices in place, and I read the ordinance that I'm trying to follow, which is very similar. That's their purpose, is to do the night sky in Clark County. So as part of that, there were some more vintage-style lights that they were showing in these catalogs that actually like public works directors were looking at, and he has two of them in his office. I don't personally feel we need to go down that road, but I do know that they have. He was showing me that he opened it up, and inside the acorn-style fixture, the top half is basically blacked out. So, you know, when you think about that, you're like, well, it looks during the daytime like a vintage light, but at night it still won't look like a vintage light. So, you know, because it won't light up the top half, because part of night sky is that you're not projecting the light up into the sky. I don't feel the need to go that far in depth with this project, but it's kind of just sharing what I've learned.
So my thoughts are this. So first of all, I would like to commend the applicants on a good job of stakeholder management with respect to this overall project. I think that you've done a good job of considering the land overlay, certainly the trailer park, neighbors, the needs of the facility. So we've all been involved with projects which I don't think were very well managed from a stakeholder point of view. Also considering the HPC as a stakeholder, we ask you to come back with this. With respect to the lights themselves and the design, I think Jackie did a really good job in presenting the staff report by summarizing the Secretary of Interior standards, which are what Clark County refers to. Those are the national standards. And in particular, the first one, which is that every reasonable effort shall be made to provide a compatible lease for a property which requires minimum alteration to the property structure, site, and its environment. In this case, I agree with the staff's findings that this is a case of alteration, which is the point that Alex was making earlier. This is in addition to the site. The other standard by the Secretary of Interior that I felt was relevant was number 9, which Jackie also commented on, that contemporary design for alterations and additions to existing properties shall not be discouraged. And alterations and additions cannot destroy this just significant historical, architectural, cultural material, etc. And I don't think that this does. I think that ideally we could go through a number of design reviews and we could look at a number of different lights and we could retract this and probably in the end, I don't think anybody would be completely happy with that either. So I follow with Sarah's comments that I agree with Stafford moving comments with respect to the design criteria. So if there's no other comments with regard to the deliberation, we can make a motion or if anybody had any comments with regard to the signage, which I don't think we've had any questions on.
What's to keep us from putting this off one more time and just investigating to see if there is some type of vintage light with a cap down that doesn't illuminate the night sky that has some sort of vintage quality and still meets the specs that are needed? We might save money. We might have it. I mean, why can't we do that? We might also find a product that's not an LED and that might have a softer ambiance, which I think is where the neighborhood is going. I'm hearing that they're not comfortable with this. And I think that when I also hear that he just doesn't know if it's available, I think we have a responsibility of a little bit of due diligence.
LEDs actually require natural lights, but so we'd have to stick to an LED style.
And as far as color rendering with LEDs, it's not like when they started, they were very harsh.
Right.
And they put out their color.
They're controlling the amount of blue light that they use to protect a lot of blue light. The standards have changed.
In some respects, having a vintage style light that stands out on the landscape to light up a parking lot almost seems counter to having a light that is so low profile. Because again, it's not being affixed to the structure that is the historic structure. I realize the whole campus is the historic property, but it's not, I don't feel like it's adversely affecting the structures that are out there that make it historical. Compared to that boxy metal halide fixture, this seems like a huge improvement. And again, I just don't know that getting a copper tone vintage acorn light that would actually stand out in the parking lot more would necessarily move us in the direction of historic compatibility, because it's illuminating a parking lot which wasn't part of the farm original, you know what I mean?
We could just as well be having the reverse argument over the top historic looking fixture and presented, we could be arguing
it's out of character with the parking lot.
It's not the right period.
Well, and that's just it.
for something that has several phases of historic, I mean, built in 26, it's made use in the 40s, I mean, what vintage light would you choose that would accurate, and we could sit here for several more meetings discussing which vintage light when...
And one of the points I was making earlier about the photometrics and the flashlight and so forth is it if you choose a different fixture, it probably is going to change the layout, and there's, I would say, a good chance if it was a historic fixture, you would probably be using more of them, so one of the
stakeholders,
and spending more money. And I just don't see a reason to go down that path.
Doesn't sound like we have any concerns at all about this.
It's a small sign.
I didn't have a concern about it. I wanted to make sure that at least we voiced that.
Should we take two separate votes, or are they? Is it one votable?
No, you can do them separately. Okay.
I'm not sure that we need to do the first thing. I'm going to put on the signage.
I have no issues with the signage.
I move that we vote to approve the certificate of appropriateness application for the proposed lighting and signage for the parking lot at the Clark County Heritage Farm.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Matt, thank you so much. I definitely was wrong on my timing of that agenda.
Yeah.
I'm Robert. So I know our work plan and budget, which could take some time, not too much. But we do have a couple guests that I met last week in Camas.
Oh.
And do you mind if we maybe like push the public comment? Because I think they just have some questions for you and want to just talk. Okay. Wonderful.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm not sure we've got much in the way. Just starting to work ourselves through the nomination process.
Here's their building.
Oh, okay, wonderful. It's a very modern street light, right?
That's not your fault. It did have a really historic.
Yeah,
the whole
really
town
nice
had really historic looking light fixtures until they changed the hall in 2007. So it was an interesting
development. Where, what's the intersection?
This is West Shugel.
Yeah.
And it's Main Street.
Main Street and Love Street.
Okay.
Or 18th. Hill Street.
Okay.
Can any of you tell us the style of the building?
Where's Holly Chamberlain?
Good luck.
Yeah, I know. I should be able to. It's got some really nice ornamental brickwork. It looks like the gate from the that parapet with the arrays. It kind of looks like maybe it's a little bit of our deco influence. So it's probably after the turn of the century. Like 1920 or something?
This is close as we know.
26, okay.
And I believe the county has it listed as 1930. Yeah. You don't know where that came from.
From
talking to people, it sounds like 26 is close.
Are those little terracotta insets above the windows?
Oh, those are things we added.
Yeah. Oh,
Those were art pieces. We had a local artist do. There was, you can see where there's one missing there. There was just a like rough piece of concrete there. I don't know if there was something original in the building that they covered up, or if they were always that way.
Were there concrete, those patches above every window?
Yes. Where each of the art pieces are,
yeah.
There was one of those.
I suspect there might have been some art pieces, perhaps, originally.
Those, you know, those round shapes below. I've seen that on some other buildings in that period. Like almost a Moorish kind of influence, you know. But really nice detail on the brick.
Have you seen any of the bricks or the Hidden House bricks?
We're curious about the bricks. Somebody told us that a local brick maker made them.
They look like Hidden House bricks to me.
And they all have like a fan trowel shape in them. The darker ones you can see all the fingerprints.
Well, they might be Hidden House. They don't make them anymore. The Hidden family's still here in town. And they have an office downtown. You could take a break down and look. That would tell you quite a bit.
I've seen a wide range of color in the field brick. And then there's, is that color, those are colored bricks, those are dark bricks. And then looks like that'd be the header. Yeah.
They're like a glossy purple almost.
They're, so they're not, it's not a, like a cone surface, it's a fan shape,
It's
just like they started at one corner just like that, trying it,
bringing the wire.
It's kind of like,
right.
Yeah. I'm not sure what they did.
Yeah, it might not be because it's really fat. But the other thing I would say is if you go up to Venersborg and you look around, you'll see a lot of buildings with those types of marks. And so we might not know much about the style, but I'll bet you the old Apostolic Lutherans built that building. Venersborg. If you go up there, you'll see, especially their older buildings. I've seen that before. And I'll bet you $100 that old Apostolic Lutherans built that building. They were Finnish.
$100 for the record.
Because they were and still are incredible masons here. And they are who did this type of work.
It's a really nice old building.
Yeah, we love it. Can you please take a look at it?
You hope so. So
that's
what we're working on. So we've got them in touch with the state. So they've got some correspondence with Nick Van, the state historical architect. So they've got questions for him, and they're working on some renovations, and they come into some issues with energy code and covering up exposed brick on the interior. So we're hoping to help them out with some historic exemptions on that. As well as they found some information on window restoration. So that was great.
We went to the presentation just in time because we had been shopping for windows for 8 months. And we were really close to replacing them until we found somebody that restores historic buildings, and he came up with them on Friday and said they were in really great condition.
So this side, that was, those windows aren't original because they were originally all glass all the way down, just like the front, right?
Actually, those are a different style. They still look original. It's the Harper style of window.
What's the address on the building?
1801 Main Street.
There's those commissioners.
I have a question for you. I'm just briefly before we get too far off. But prior to going to the presentation on cannabis that was done, had you visited the Park County website and looked at the information that we have available there? I'd like your feedback in terms of how useful that was and how easy it was to find the information that you're looking for.
When you first looked at it in about 2007, right after we purchased the building, and I thought it was really easy to find, but I did find it confusing of which designation to go for between the state and the national and the local. And the process seemed a little intimidating to me. Mm-hmm. So we always knew we wanted to take it on, but we postponed it until we got to the presentation. I think this is something I can do, but I just need to let you know.
You guys done a nice job.
Yeah. Looks better than 2001. the county assessors doesn't have any build date information on it. It's kind of interesting.
So there's a Chinese cafe and a hot dog shop.
That sign's rolled in the white one. There's actually a new place in there. It's a deli. Frozen yogurt in the deli.
So what issues are you having with the energy deli?
Insulation.
Yeah,
covering
we're,
up.
We're getting ready to, we have an architect finishing plans for the upstairs. The upstairs is basically gutted. And we want to put in 4 studio apartments up there that are going to be nicer, sort of modern, industrial looking maybe. And when I gutted the upstairs, we exposed all the brick walls all the way around and really liked it, but the architects had told us that we needed to frame in front of the walls, 2x6 framing, so it was really good insulation, and they would all be covered back up again. And that was when we started going, geez, is there any way around doing that? Because the brick really looks cool, and we thought it would look really nice in the apartments, but they're saying they're going to make this sheetrock everything, basically. So we didn't want to, I don't know if we can put more insulation in the ceiling, maybe, and maybe a little more on some interior walls would help balance that out.
You're on the right track. Was it a change of use? Was there a different?
No, it was
residences up there.
It was apartments before.
There was 7 up there
before. That's good.
Yeah. was it drywall in there that you took out, or was it?
It was
last plaster.
No, uninsulated, so
nothing was insulated.
No newspaper stuffed in the wall?
Yes, we have found some old newspapers, but they...
Any dates?
Yeah. 1927.
I had that in my house, actually.
Yeah.
The year much of the country was built.
There are going to be some exceptions to that that help you, and you're on the right track. You've got a mechanical engineer and a humble summary instead of a prescriptive approach. So the code prescribes certain things, but you're hearing this, so it's prescribed. But as you said, if you put more insulation in one spot, you can offset. Although the energy code's pretty new, it was updated in 2014, then just adapted, I think, in July. But it's kind of a little harsher than promises. So hopefully those exemptions didn't disappear.
They're in there, we checked.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So
the exemptions are
in. Yes, yes. So it's for any building listed on the National Register or local register, or that's deemed eligible for National Register listing by the state. And that's why I contacted them to see, you know, I didn't know what their, you know, plans were, how quickly they may need to work on that, and whether the building was potentially eligible for National Register. So the state's looking at that now. From what I heard, it sounds like they're thinking it is. So they may be able to write a letter to the city to that fact.
And if, you know, the level is a little bit lower than that, there may still be exemptions, just because it's an existing use, it's a continued existing use, it's an existing building. You're altering it, but you're not making things any worse. And then the building official has some leeway on the historical side, even if it's not registered. Mm-hmm. The building official has some leeway. Yeah. So, you might have some options.
Great. Do you guys have any more questions? Or
the only other question I have is, originally we weren't going to put buildings. Commercial use, it seems the bottom is. But the city had told us all along that if the use has changed at all, we'd have to bring a whole building up to code, which would include seismic and sprinkler and. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. So, how many square feet on that dwelling?
3,000.
I can see we're at that. You might have put an elevator. That line where 2,000 square feet is the threshold, basically, for most situations for required warehouse. And when you do a change of use for a variety of reasons, that's when the building officials kind of step back and take a harder look, because you could be putting a use in there that's more has a higher risk level, maybe an assembly area space or large conference rooms or something like that. And they kind of set things aside and say, okay, no, let's look at this. If it's in, gives them the opportunity, then you can go in and very straight from his ADA. And basically, it's a new brand new ball game if it's a change of use.
Okay. Well, you guys have my contact information. Let me know if there's anything more. But I think you're on a great start. So thanks for coming.
Great, thank you.
I hope to see you again.
Okay, moving on. Want to just get right into it?
Yes.
Mobile app?
You want to do that first?
I have to leave soon, so.
Okay, should we do the budget? Let's get the budget, see if we can make some decisions. So you all received what I emailed you, which was what we've been working on, our, you know, list of potential things we may want to do this year per our budget categories. And then Sarah helped me work out a, you know, hopefully easier to understand spreadsheet for us to use, and she had some great spreadsheets. And that, but the way the city had always prepared it was always a little bit, never quite.
Just confusing.
Yeah. So hopefully, so basically, what's going on is that last year's budget was $26,831. We carried over 16,000 of that from 2014 because we had projects, so the city allowed us to do that because it wasn't 2013, 2014 biennium. So usually if you don't spend your funds by the end, they go back to the general fund. But because we had some arrangements and some agreements on how we were going to spend it, we were able to carry that over for that, just that time. So that gave us a pretty good cushion. So then that we spent $15,000 on, you know, the various things, the mobile app, sponsorships, our memberships, the Lubke nomination, and we had 10938 remaining. So at being a biennium 2015-2016, that carries over to 2016 with the $10,000 that the city gives us per year in addition. Okay, so right now we have $20,938 for 2016.
So then the actual percentages of what that looks like, that 2938, what that looks like for each of our categories, so we can get a better idea of what we have left.
Right. So that's kind of starts there. And then I did, after I worked with you, Sarah, I tried to do an even more kind of detailed list of our memberships, like the, if you wanted to do the National Alliance of Preservation Commissions again, that was 150. The Architectural Heritage Center, that was 55. The Washington Trust membership was 100. And then there was these three that are in our communities that I didn't know we may be interested in supporting or becoming a member of. The Clark County Genealogical Society, you know, their membership makes it so that they can continue helping people do research of their, you know, ancestry and keeping that library open, which of course is a resource that we suggest people to go to when they're researching their properties. The Two Rivers Heritage Museum, which is in the Camas-Washougal area, it's in Washougal. That range, that's like a range they have, a kind of a variety of membership options to choose from. The North Clark County Historical Museum, that's another one that we can become members of and support. So I just wanted to kind of give you those options. And then wanted to talk about the training opportunities. So, and yes.
I don't see just the regular Clark County.
Right, and I didn't add that because last time we sponsored them for the lecture series, and then that got us, I think, a membership.
Okay.
So I didn't know if you wanted to do it both ways or how you wanted to do it, but that's, yeah, no, good question, good question, because, yeah, we don't want to leave our friends out here. So, yeah, that was here. And that's how it ended up, that once we did that, we were allowed to utilize the museum exhibits and lectures and such. So,
does that include the walking tours?
No, I think those are extra even for members. They're just reduced.
At a lower rate.
Right, So, and you know, we've got, so how about, how do you want to do this? Do you want to talk about each category and make decisions, or do you want me to kind of go over a brief overview first?
I think one way, let's go in order.
Okay.
At least on these, because these seem pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Right. So, in terms of sponsoring North County and Twin Rivers, my personal bias is that yes, we should be doing that. We should look like we're forming a stronger partnership with the outline across the county.
Yeah.
I agree. So then it's just a matter of what we feel would be appropriate to
Is there a minimum institutional membership?
Yes, so the North Clark County, they have a regular, which is only 10, a contributing, which is 25, a benefactor, which is 500. Okay, supporting 50, patron 100. So they don't have like an organization one per se. So it's kind of, you know, 10, 25, 50, 100, 500, or 1,000 plus. And I'm sure they'll take, you know, whatever amount that you, if you wanted to do something other than those.
I'm not feeling the need for 1,000. Or even 500.
100.
I think 100 is good.
And we're still good with the three that we had last year. You want to continue and renew? The National Alliance of Preservation Commissions.
I never actually went to the Architectural Heritage Center. I had good intentions, but I never went.
Did we get to me cards or anything
about that? I got a newsletter from them, but and the papers. Oh,
I'm still good now. I don't get
For what Holly has done for us, I feel like it's a good.
They had, and I think it was last weekend, and I was like, oh, to go.
I mean, some things looked good.
They do, because they were like architectural styles and learning about lectures, and they do the walking tours. I mean, they're usually Saturdays.
Walking tours? They're
architectural.
It's all extra. You have to pay for that extra. It's like $40.
And I think there's a little bit more less if you're like the other museum, if you're a member.
And I'm pretty familiar with that organization, so that's by the Bosco and Logan Foundation, and they are pretty influential within the Portland Arts and Architecture scene. I think it's really on us to be more engaging with them. I don't think that they're going to come knock on their doors and say, hey, we'd love to have you involved in this, because they have many things going on. But
could be a good partnership.
Definitely an opportunity for us to foster that relationship.
So,
I think
keep it.
I agree that that's what I would like to go to.
Should go.
So, which of these are the best ones for us to further educate ourselves? That's my question.
Well, I mean, I would say definitely our local ones help. Not only you might use them as resources, but they are very important for people that are going through our program to find the information and things that we're asking them to find. So supporting those, I think, are important. The Washington Trust does it statewide, and you know they're an advocacy group for historic preservation. It's a good entity. Like Robert said, the Architectural Heritage Center, it's still a resource. I mean, you may be able to utilize them for something if we need it. It's more deep research on something, or, you know, just some resources on where to go. What's that?
They do a lot of advocacy.
They do a lot of advocacy on historic preservation.
It would be a perfect place to go with a photo of your building.
It's true, true.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then the National Alliance, you know, we did that because we were going to go. Robert went, or did you? We went, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, you know,
a discounted,
and I mean, it's not like the membership
associated with that as well. But it's, you know, again, it's on.
You
got to
utilize it.
To look at that. And say,
right.
So maybe we don't do that unless we're actually going.
It's up to you guys.
Could leave that in there, and then maybe just the next meeting we can actually look at that website and decide if there's anything in there that we want to take it in before we do it.
But I highlighted it.
So it's on the edge of me.
So what about Genealogical Society? They're kind of similar.
I'd say go with the $40. Is that for a genealogical person?
They call it a joint. Instead of, like, so it's individual is 30, a joint is 40.
I think that's reasonable.
Family members.
Sure, family.
Okay. And the Two Rivers.
And it seems like it's North Clark County's getting.
We're going to do the 100.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so.
Does that seem cheap, though, in terms of support for?
Maybe, like you said, we come back after maybe
some
of
the other eight here.
Like on our sponsorship kind of thing, because there was a big sponsorship question too.
True, maybe you have
a historical museum, so maybe we come back to
membership
and sponsorship or two.
Right, yeah, that's true. Maybe there'll be something you can do work with them, one of the museums on. Okay, so the training portion of this category, so far there's five of us signed up for the Tacoma training.
When is that again?
There we go.
March 15th, yes.
I just got approval from my boss.
Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be right up our alley, I think, you know, certified local governments and what issues we deal with in the preservation. So, and it's pretty cheap. So, I mean, if you're available and you want to go, I would suggest join the caravan.
Because I actually like to caravan with you guys. So, you
do.
I should be in the car. So, people are just
going up for the day? Or And what are the hours on that?
I think it starts at 9 and ends at 4.
Where is it? Olympia?
Tacoma.
I think I'm out of town.
Okay. Okay. So shall shoot Jan an email because the city's signing us up, and there's like a choice of lunch options that you need to choose. So.
I think I signed up.
You did, yeah. Alex, you're good. You're on. I had it on the agenda. I think we had Jan, me, Robert, Sarah, Alex.
That's got emails right on Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So yeah, if you just make sure you do it. I think I just got an email today. They extended the registration. So just let us know if you can this week, so we can get you added to it. So that'll be 240.
And then what is that called again? What's CLG mean?
Certified local government.
Thank you.
So that's what we are all as a certified local government. Mm-hmm. That means we have a historic preservation commission and maintain a local register.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I need that.
So the next one is the Revitalize Washington, and Sarah, I did find information on it, and it's pretty affordable too. I was surprised. So it's in Chelan this year, and it is April 25 through the 25th through the 27th, and the conference rate is $150 per person, and there's going to be a CLG rate that 2-for-1. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then, so I looked at the hotel, and when I put in the dates, it was kind of expensive. And then I saw in the registration, I was like, make sure you let them know you're in the conference block. So I called, and the room's only $178 for 2 nights. It was like $89.
Where was that? What hotel was that?
It's whatever the resort hotel is there.
But it's $328 for a conference.
Yeah, $328 per person. It'd be cheaper if more of us go because then we get the conference rate off. So.
Chelan.
I
know. I went like 2 years ago, and I found it as an urban planner really useful.
Yeah.
Went to about 3 sessions, I think, that were totally historic preservation, archaeology, that sort of thing.
Did you have archaeology?
They did. They had the entire DAHP up there. Each one of them had like a session. And they had a field trip that I went out to look at some Native American site. So I really got a lot out of it.
I mean, it's run by, I mean, it's organized by the Washington Trust for Historic Preservation, DAP, and then the Washington State Main Street Program. That I think it falls under the trust now. Or somehow. It does, but it's really, I mean, it's kind of like, I know, yeah. But it's very like downtowns and I mean, the Main Street approach, one of them is, you know, a lot about historic preservation, encouraging that tourism with historic preservation. And so.
It was. And they had actually had commissioner training for a state, too, new commissioners. So, anyways, it was a good conference. So
I would, so if you guys, if any of you have an inkling of interest, I would suggest April 25th through the 27th, and it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I would be very interested. What would be covered and what would not be covered?
I'll check with Jan, but I believe I think there's a per diem, so you know we'd have to figure out what that is. But I think they cover it all. The city would for travel.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Except my city pitched in because that was also going on
for work.
These times, and they pitched in with the car.
Yeah, for me, everything was about the same.
Yeah, they did the car and the DM, and then Vancouver picked up
the meals.
But this is actually cheaper than the hotel.
Well, that hotel is really cheap. It was, it was Eastside. It was like
Yeah, the regular rate is like $180 at this place, so they bumped it down $100. I was like,
yeah.
It's a good deal.
Yeah.
It's a lot of value.
Yeah.
But if, let's say if we all went, not like we all can, but then that's, what is that on our budget? How many are
there? $1,600.
Yeah.
$1,650.
We got plenty.
We have $6,000 in that session.
Yeah.
We didn't have them last year.
We didn't. Yeah. So
this is a good bang for your buck, and it's not too far. I mean, you know, so the distance isn't too hard of a travel.
25th
or 27th. Okay, so I'll keep it as a very good possibility. But I would assume we want to sign up soon. I don't know how many rooms are in that slot, you know.
How do we do that? Do we email Jen?
Mm-hmm. She holds the purse strings.
I noticed she's not here.
No, she's in D.C. They're on their lobbying trip.
Could we allocate some money then for that, if there's significant interest?
Well, that's what we were just saying. There's plenty of money. So if we all wanted to go, we could afford it.
Does it like X? Okay, on the laptop.
Don't make me come over there.
I will gladly give this to you. So $1,640 for room and board in the room in the conference for five. So, and this is, I'm tallying up so far what you have. So
you're doing 178 times five? Is that what you're doing?
No, 320, whatever it is. 328.
Okay, so we've spent that. So we might be reallocating that part of the budget.
Right, yes. Right, yeah, you can move it around. Okay, so there's that. Program outreach, the mobile app, I kind of just split it into kind of subcategories. We, of course, have the annual maintenance fee for sure, so it's already over here. There was on our list potential if we wanted to maybe get some better photography. A lot of our historic sites, we have kind of the original photos that were probably submitted on film that have been scanned in, so they're not as high quality or high resolution. So, you know, getting a photographer to do that. And I know that we just did one. We just got, the city has a photographer on contract that we just had him go and do all of the ones that were listed this past year. So all of Dean's buildings and the Lukey's building, so that we have good photos of that, because we didn't really have that. So, so that was done under the city's budget, not yours. I'd have to ask Jan, because they just handled it all. So that's an option, you know, something that in case you want to do. And then we have the Clark County Historical Museum sponsorship. If you want to sponsor the lecture series again and become involved in organizing one of those, or like we, you know, Robert
did. That
was
did. Really great.
Yeah.
I would say we should do that.
Okay.
I think anything educational is part of the mission. My neighbor's still talking about it.
So. Okay, cool. And I think that was like 2000, but we can get more details and talk to Katie about. Was it not that much?
No.
No, I won't put that in. We'll talk. But it sounds like interest in that and getting more information. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here, Shell.
Fiscal conservancy, except for education.
Okay, got it. So then following anything here on program outreach, do you want to guys add or talk about?
Well, I think I need to add more sponsorships, like you were just saying.
Okay.
Just sort of generic sponsorship.
Yeah. Versus, you know, spending $1,000 on photography, it'd be better if we were spending, you know. Because, I mean, part of it was, look at who's here. Jackie and I showed up at the library in Camas, you know, advertised it for a couple weeks, and we had 20 people there.
Did you?
Yeah. Cool. And so, you know, we start doing more things like that, obviously, more people.
So what would you call it? What would you want to call that kind of?
Public outreach? Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't cost us anything, but it could actually bring snacks or something.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, even more, I think it would be very beneficial to at least, like, the museums in our county, mm-hmm. is, like, how, you know, sponsoring an exhibit they might have coming up that's planned, that they still need a little something to make it happen.
Yeah.
I know that Jan had previously, before, back in November when we started this process, had, museum was about to, was working on their Clark County history exhibit and whether or not that was, you know, something we wanted to, you know, sponsor or be part of it. So, you know, things like that that could help the museum do things programming wise could be something. So maybe
It could be programming sponsorships because we don't know what that might be.
Okay.
And they know that we're saying, what's, how much do we have left? So when we get those that come to us and ask us for something, we'll have a sense of how much money we have.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we can invite them to come to a meeting, you know, each, you know, each museum and kind of talk to us about what they've got going on this year and how can we maybe, you know, work with them on something.
Yeah,
okay.
Great.
All right. Okay, anything more with the program outreach?
No, I just think I've always been sensitive to the fact that we have this very Vancouver-centric
Yeah.
I just wonder if people up in that
right.
So maybe we're specific about actually inviting those two museums.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
Do we ever take these meetings on the road?
We never have, but that's been, I think Robert has brought that up before. We can, I mean, that's totally doable.
And the good thing about being here is that Jan and Jackie and the staff is here, so they don't have to go far.
Right. But, I mean, don't, I mean, we go where, I mean, I work for the county, so I have, I'm all over the place, so, and Jan, you know, she won't mind.
I just like to do more of the outreach, you know, sort of. I don't think we're going to get many people to come to a meeting, but if we're advertising again, getting people helping get on the register, then I think we'll get probably a good.
I think that was a good method that we used, and we'll talk more about it afterward how it went. But it, you know, we partnered with another organization in essence that helped spread the word, and we had, you know, people there that knew what they were coming for. We were very clear on what the presentation was going to entail. We had a, you know, a person that had could do that testimony and how he did it. So I mean, it worked very well, and I think it was.
You know, what about doing a similar thing in Battleground at
totally.
Ridgefield?
Yeah. Well, I have had an inquiry from Ridgefield, so
good.
I'm just waiting for them to schedule me. So that's in the works. So,
okay,
you know, working then to get Battleground and the center and Washougal. We kind of I have reached out to the planner there, so I haven't heard back from her. But we did, for the one that we did last week, we try to, you know, incorporate both and spread the word. So
I've talked to the planners about it.
Yeah.
About it.
Okay.
So I could definitely.
Yeah.
Again, so.
Yeah, and I was thinking that too, like, because I also want to give them a bunch of these cards. Our department meets with the city directors every month. So it's a good opportunity for me to be like, okay, you know, I want to try and work on this with you all, or how can I best, you know, get entree into, you know, something for, like what we did in Camas in your cities and kind of work that way.
So I don't know, is that online yet? Local training, local how-tos.
Not just HPC events.
Okay, well, good. Anything more on that?
We haven't talked about what Fort Vancouver has going on this year, so we've originally done something with Fort Vancouver.
Okay.
I'm sure that would be.
Sure. Yeah. And maybe that's another invite. Like, you know, we invite them to come talk to us. Okay.
So we really can't answer the question.
Right. So we just kind of know what we have allocated, or, you know, in a broad sense.
And we basically know we only need about $2,000 of it. So.
Right. So program admin traditionally has, we used it for paying for the recording fees. They still one trickled in a couple months ago. If you want me to do another outreach, another letter as another push to try to get the ones that still we haven't heard back from, that's another opportunity. If you want to continue with that, do that again. I mean, we got, I'm going to say, like 10 or 11.
Out of how many did you say?
Oh, goodness.
I think
probably 30.
Oh, okay. So that is a good
time. So, yeah, because it's only those that were listed before 99, and which were a good amount. But a lot of them are like city properties, so we didn't have to worry about those because they're already, Jan got them signed, and I got the ones that were county owned or that were owned by the state, so those were taken care of. So I mean, it worked. I mean, there's no harm in it. I guess it's not that big of a. My department would pay for the postage for the letter, and it would just be me writing it and sending it. So it would just be this would be paying for the recording of whatever we got back signed.
Nice.
Okay. And then another one was we had talked about plaques, especially for the National Register. When a local register is listed, either the city or the county pays for the local plaque, and it's just a small thing. But the National Register plaques, are pretty nice. And they're expensive. And the courthouse, the Poor Farm, Kiggins, the Meyer Farm, I believe.
Did you say that the local cities were paying for the plaques?
The Vancouver pays for the Vancouver ones, and the county pays for all the others.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, no, with Kiggins, no,
I'm
just paying
for
those plaques.
No.
Okay.
So
we would be actually paying, that would be coming out of ours, even for the local.
No. Well, I mean, I'm kind of proposing the national ones because, I mean, those seem to be getting taken care of. And these are, ones that have been listed recently. And I don't know if someone's going to come up and be like, let's pay for that. So if we feel like it's important to do it, I'm sure.
I was just thinking, actually, that is one of those other incentives that people might want for new properties coming on rather than going to the national, ones that have been on the register for a while, another one of those, especially for some of these, downtown businesses like theirs or something. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
I'm thinking that topic of the plaques almost crosses into outreach and sponsorship because we can sponsor it with the city campus if we have a budget on that. And the check, the tent, the plaques are less costly.
And I doubt that any of the other cities, those cities
have it. Right, right. And it's also an outreach item because it's raises public.
Definitely. So it's kind of both. And I will say the local ones, they're not exterior proof, like they're not weatherproof. Not like the National Register plaques that are the bronze or whatever etched in. Yeah, I mean these are wood with like a bronze plating, and so they really do need to be covered, which depending on the kind of site you have, if it's the cemetery that only has a wall or something, they're not going to be able to put something like that. It won't last.
You don't have control over making like a grass plate.
We do. It's just if they're going to be more expensive. So that's going to be a harder sell probably for John and I to push for our county and city budget.
I want to put a plastic plaque.
But if it was something you wanted to, change and use this budget for, it's an opportunity. It's an option.
It's not like a high priority for me, but I think it might be nice to see if there's a few more weather-resistant options.
I kind of always thought that.
That we could add to sweeten the deal for people that are real proud that they're. Gosh, how many have we done for D now?
Right.
And none of his properties have flags this week, but it's on there, right?
Yep. Well, we get them ordered and we give them to the property owners. It's up to them whether or not they want to put them up. Or.
Well, Ian has mentioned we also have that fund for restoring
preserve this building, so it's not a matter of resources for me. It's choosing not to. It's just not thinking about it.
What about doing it on a volunteer basis? I mean, there are people like Dean who may say, I don't necessarily want the plaque, or I can afford it myself. But for people who would like to display a plaque and don't necessarily have the resources,
like a subsidy or something, a sponsorship.
Yeah, so the motto is voluntary.
We're not
going
to move that line
up
under sponsorships.
Do you ever do?
I
don't
care.
It kind of makes sense, actually.
Well, maybe there's the national and the local, and it's a sponsorship. We've got the locals. I'm not sure exactly what
we're going to do. But it is outreach. I mean, the minute you put a sign up there, that says something about it. People
are
kind of curious.
And I mean, for at least us, because as the commission, we pushed for a few of them, right? Mm-hmm. So the Kiggins Theater, the courthouse, not so much, but that's in a pretty, yeah, and the Poor Farm, which doesn't have anything. Probably people don't even know that it's on the National Register, so, and the county has no budget or at the farm to purchase something like that, so.
I think of how fascinating some of the plaques are when you're traveling back east. And
the little story of it, or
yeah, and it's you can almost do your own walking tour.
Yeah,
with some of those plaques, but whatever it is, reaching out.
Okay, so. It sounds like kind of favorable on the idea. Okay, so maybe we'll give you some more details on costs and whatnot for those, and kind of make a decision. Maybe we do one at a time. We can get. But it sounds like we can stay here and work some more on it. Okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking, it's probably a genuine question, but they've made that decision to move forward with a lot of the development down around is going to be removed and demolished. So is there anything down there that we want to get involved with or try and lobby for some type of preservation?
An interpretation or something?
Yeah. We don't insert ourselves into that planning process.
And I think that was... Yeah, well, she had a couple ideas for more interpretive. I mean, I think they can always come up with areas that can utilize an interpretive panel. So we'll put that in here, too. And that does that go for us other cities, too? Okay, so...
That's progress.
Yep, I think we did that. Oh, the last one, we direct preservation, really trying to hit those buildings that may be kind of endangered or we want to get listed to protect. The gentleman from Le Centre has been, lobbying for the Le Centre Library, which was a hospital. And I was able to go up there a couple weeks ago for a presentation I gave, and it's a really beautiful building, and they've done a really great job with the interior remodel. The exterior still, looks intact, and it was moved down the road, and that's how it was saved. So the family up there, the Margaret Koff, who passed away I think last year, it was her family that saved it and moved it. And the gentleman just couldn't, he didn't have enough information with what he gave to me that I could do a nomination. I just didn't have enough resources. So it needs someone to get into that. So that was another one, if there's interest in that, to kind of move that along. It's not a, it's, the library's in it, but they don't own the building. So it's privately owned.
Just the fact that, how far was it moved? Feeling of the association
down the road, like on the same road, I think. because it's the center, it's kind of all right there in the center. So I think it was further closer to the interstate, and there was something, maybe it was the gas station or something.
The building was right downtown where that rustic, new and rustic looking thing with there's a big Marley.
Yes, that's what he was saying. Yes. Yes, okay.
We moved down to the far side of the ball fields.
Yeah.
Probably about a quarter of a mile.
Yeah. So. Okay, well.
That's progress.
Okay. So is that a yes? You wanted me to look into that?
I think, we keep that earmarked.
Okay.
For the supporting nominations.
Okay.
One of those comes forward.
Okay. Okay. Well, this was for hiring, how we did Holly or how we did the Lube Key, right? Okay.
Yeah. And is that funds remaining? Has that been tallying up?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, how is that? Because here we've got 2938, but that's not including the 2011 mobile app. 29, 22.
Oh, that was just Sarah doing an allocation, right? Of what? How much? That's.
I guess while we're on the topic, maybe March 23rd through the 26th of the Northwest Anthropological.
Okay.
It's pretty archaeological centric, and their project all over the world, but it's pretty Northwest specific.
Okay. Do you have an email or anything for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to send it to me, I can forward it on and see if anyone wants to look into that one.
Yeah, I'm going. I go every year. It's sort of networking.
Sure. Is it always in Tacoma?
No.
Okay.
Last year was Eugene. And
okay.
It's all,
okay. So it's kind of all the Pacific
Northwest. Oh,
okay.
I've thought about having it when PSU was hosting it. I tried to get it because the Hilton was just built, and Port Vancouver was going through all that, the transfer. And I thought, it would be a good tie-in and all of that. But PSU was like, we've got our own hotel conference center. So I looked into it. It would be a cool tie-in with the National Park Service.
Definitely.
Okay, well, I think this is progress. We can just update this and see how.
Okay. Sounds good.
Definitely. It's time.
All right.
And then, is this the mobile app?
Yes. So and I have a bunch, and I would it'd be great where you work, or if you can rock your building's listed right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's the shops. Maybe they wouldn't mind having them on the counter or something. So if you guys want, I've got lots in here. So my plan is to get those plastic kind of holders and get them for the museums, the city halls, the county building, down here somewhere at the visitor center, places that I know for sure are historic destinations. Mm-hmm. But getting it around where you guys are would be great too. Okay, so come over here before you leave and just grab whatever you need. So there's that. Quickly, we kind of talked about it. We had, it was a great experience. How we set it up was overview of the program, how to list your property, the resources to go to do your research, the elements of a nomination, the tax incentives. Then we had Leonard Felix from the American Legion Hall come and talk about all the types of funding and things he used to make it work.
He went into depth. Yeah, it was good.
It was good. I mean, it was definitely good for a business owner that is going to go into something like that. Because he talked about the small business credits, and he got some of the federal tax credits. He got the special valuation. So, he just showed all that and the before and after, and how people, young because young people that are coming to interview are from Portland aren't so sure about working in Canvas, but they walk into that building and they're like, wow, this is a really cool building in downtown Canvas, and this is a really cool walkable space. And so it's becoming a kind of draw for his employees too. So it was interesting.
We had good press coverage too.
Yes, the local paper, and I'm working with the Canvas Downtown Association. She helps spread the word, and I think we're going to get a few potential nominations so that people are learning more about how to do that. So it was
worth
it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So
you
talked about Revitalize Washington, mm-hmm. and CLG grants.
So the April. It's a no match year.
Does anybody have any ideas off the top of their head?
So.
Yep.
All right. Nobody else has any announcements to move toward the public comment?
So I'll open it up to public comment. Anybody have any famous last words?
Well, I know Brad from the museum is like vision is to get out to the other counties, so I can get with him because he wants the other counties and other part of Clark County. Mm-hmm. Or, not county, Bridgefield, all those guys. Yeah. Like, get with Brad on that.
Sure.
My ideas.
Yeah. Do a joint effort.
Thank you, everybody. Well, if there's no more public comment. All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everyone.